So this is a call to share the gifts of blackness with the entire church. Because when the body of Christ produces fruit, it's not just for that section, it's for everybody. It's for everybody in that, you know, our native soil. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Native Soil. It's good to be with you again. In these past couple of weeks, we've been reflecting a lot on the makeup of our native soil, the different communities of faith that belong to our native soil. And we've spent a lot of time focusing on the Hispanic and Black communities. And I know that there are other communities. They are two biggest kind of minority demographics. And I look forward to exploring some of those, such as our Native American population, our Korean, our Vietnamese. But in this episode, I wanted to circle back to our reflection on our Black brothers and sisters. And I think one of the values of really coming to understand our native soil better is every part of our native soil produces different kinds of fruits. And every fruits that are produced on our native soil are not just important to that community, but to all of us who call ourselves brothers and sisters, particularly in this Archdiocese of Mobile and the southern half of Alabama. So I wanted to reflect today particularly on the special fruits that we can look to appreciate and receive from our African-American brothers and sisters. Now, obviously, I am not an expert on these things, but I was really moved by my buddy, Father Manuel Williams. I had referenced him in the episode about Enigma. We had run that retreat together. But he had told me one day about a letter that the Black bishops of the United States wrote in 1984 called What We Have Seen and Heard. At that time in the U.S., there were 10 Black Catholic bishops, and they felt called to get together. And it was kind of a moment where they said, you know, we've arrived. You know, we have accepted this Catholic faith over the generations. We have become a part of it. Now we have even been called amongst our brothers and sisters to be bishops. We need to reflect on the unique gifts and blessings of the Black Catholic community and how those are to be shared and expressed with others. I actually learned about this from Father Manuel through the Enigma Retreat. And also he shared on some videos we did for our vocations office about what would be special about a young Black man from our diocese entering seminary and becoming a priest. And so at the end of this podcast, I want everyone to go to nativesoil.org, because at the bottom of the post, there's going to be a lot of other links that I'm going to want you to check out. And the first of which is going to be this link that we have of my buddy Father Manny talking about, from his perspective, the unique gifts of the Black Catholic community. He does a better job than me, but I'm going to add my own two cents as well. And my thoughts are going to be based on this letter from the Black Catholic bishops in 1984 called What We Have Seen and Heard. There's another link you'll find down. There's a documentary done by Spirit Juice, which does a lot of Father Robert Barron. If you follow him, they do a lot of his videos. But they did a documentary featuring the Black Catholic community in New Orleans, largely through the lens of Dr. Ansel Augustine. It's another great insight into the particularity of our Black Catholic communities and what they have to offer us. So what I want to focus on, there's a lot of things in the letter. There's a lot of aspects that the Black bishops go into. But I want to focus on, they talk about there are three distinctive marks of African-American spirituality and that are particularly rich and particularly robust in their tradition, which they believe is not just a gift for them, but to the whole church. One of the things the Black Catholic bishops point out is a visit that Pope Paul VI made to Uganda. And as he addressed them, he said, "You have been missionized, and now you must become missionaries to yourselves. You know, missionaries have come and brought you the faith. You must pass this faith on to your own communities. And another step is you must help share the gifts of Blackness with the universal church." And the Black bishops said, you know, we are the descendants of our African brothers and sisters. They very much felt that word called to them. So this is a call to share the gifts of Blackness with the entire church, because when the body of Christ produces fruit, it's not just for that section, it's for everybody. It's for everybody in that, you know, our native soil. So the first hallmark of Black Catholic spirituality, the bishops point out, is that it has a contemplative stance. And what they mean by that is that in African-American spirituality, every place is fit for prayer. So many times with our Black brothers and sisters around, you might hear these spontaneous prayers of, "Oh Lord Jesus, thank you Jesus, Lord have mercy on me." And sometimes this can be parody and people can laugh, but this is a real authentic part of African-American spirituality. Is any situation, any place is a place fit for prayer because they have a deep sense of God's abiding presence with them all the time. And part of this too is not only is every place fit for prayer, it is because every place you are, God is with you. And so there's this contemplative sense in the Black community that wherever you are, there's a perceptiveness of God's presence there with them. This is something I can personally testify to as somebody who travels around our archdiocese, and particularly as I visit our schools. I am always intrigued and impressed when I go into a classroom, in our high schools particularly, and I ask the students to articulate, where have you seen God in your life? How have you heard him speak to you? Have you ever had a moment in which you just knew God was there? 9 times out of 10, it is a African-American student that raised their hand first. And there is a facility amongst our amongst the Black community I see to be able to speak about this as it's very normal. It's a very common day kind of thing. And I've seen them as they share, you see other lights start to go on in the room of, okay, what does that mean? How do I tap into that? It is a gift that we all could share from the Black community. Being able to be perceptive of God's presence at all times, being able to call out to God at any moment, and to not be afraid to call it publicly. There's a public witness factor too. It's such an organic part of their experience of faith that as they experience a blessing or they experience a difficulty, thank you, Lord, help me, Lord. It is testifying in a very natural and a very beautiful way to the fact that God is an everyday, every moment part of our lives. I'd say I had this experience just this last week. I was taking a walk. I wasn't wearing my clerics. I was going on kind of a walk, then a jog. And there was a Black gentleman sitting on his stoop. And as I walked by, I just said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "Good." He said, "Man, I'm so proud of you." I said, "Why?" He said, "You chose a beautiful evening like this to take a walk. Good for you." And I said, "Yeah, I'm just thankful the Lord's blessed us with it." And he said, "Amen." He said, "He's blessed us with it." And he says, "I'll tell you what, brother." I said, "What?" He said, "If God gives me 5 seconds, I'm going to take advantage of all 5 seconds because it's a gift from him." And I said, "Amen." And he said, "God bless you." And I went on my way. That is the richness that we need to learn from our Black community. Just a guy walking down the street. He didn't know me from Adam, but there was nothing holding him back from testifying to the goodness that he saw in God, in me, and in that situation, in that moment. And we both left feeling blessed by each other. So the first thing the Black Catholic bishops say about African-American spirituality is it's this contemplative stance. The second is that it's holistic. Holistic in the sense of it's a full body experience of the faith. It's a full body expression of the faith. And a world that tends to be our modern age, we tend to kind of keep everything locked up here. You know, in a very technical age where we want to see kind of things very defined in a technical way or in a very just rational way, the Black expression of the faith is full body. When you're praising God, you praise him with your voice, you praise him with your hands, you praise him with your feet, you praise him with your whole body. It is a community that is not afraid of their emotions. Sometimes you hear, I've heard my Black friends talk about being in their feelings. They say, "I'm really in my feelings right now." And that is something that they know how to do in a particular way, is to be in their feelings and to feel things deeply in a spiritual level and also in their day-to-day interactions with the world around them. going to worship in a Black Catholic or Black Christian church is a different experience. It's more of a full body kind of interactive experience. I'll tell you one personal story of me preaching at Resurrection Parish in Montgomery, where I mentioned my buddy Father Manuel is. When you preach in a Black community, they talk with you. It's a dialogue. You know, if something resonates with them, you're going to hear an amen. You might hear an hallelujah. You might hear preach. And there's these encouraging words. And I can say, as someone who's preached in a lot of different environments, it's a very different experience of preaching when you have people who are in a full body way listening and responding and encouraging you. That's the feel. It's a very encouraging. If you say something, if God says something through you that resonates with them, they want to encourage you to kind of open up more, give us more, pour more of the Spirit on us. And the most powerful experience, the way the church is set up at Resurrection is you're preaching there at the ambo, and just to the right is the choir. And the choir kind of takes upon themselves the primary job is kind of cheerleader in some sense. You know, a lot of the choir are responding to you, and the rest of the congregation is as well. But there is one guy, every time I've preached there, been there, the way that he affirms, the priest when he's preaching is when he gets to something that really resonates with him, he'll always say, "Yes, sir." And I loved hearing that. There's something about hearing him just, "Yes, sir." I saw him do it for my buddy Father Williams, but when I got up there and started preaching, I remember this distinct moment, the first time I said something that resonated with him, and I got one of those "yes sirs." Man, the Lord just took me to a different gear of what I was about to share. You know, it was more of a full-bodied kind of message that started to emerge out of me as that fruit of Black spirituality descended on me, this tall white guy. It helped me to get in my feelings. It helped me to express in a more robust way what God was trying to say through me. The best person I've ever heard talk about this is my girl right here, Sister Thea Bowman. I've mentioned this before. I really believe she's going to be a saint one day. She has an address that she gave to the bishops of the United States on YouTube where she talks about what it means to be Black and Catholic. And in spades, she exudes and explains what I'm talking about in this holistic expression of the faith. So this is another one of those links. When you finish watching this, hearing this, you're going to go to nativesoil.org and you're going to watch this address. It is so moving. If you are not in your feelings by the end of her speech, you might need to go get some therapy or something, because she takes you to that place to experience the depths of God in your feelings, in your body, and your heart, your mind, all of it at the same time. It's an amazing gift the Black community has to share with us. The final thing that is a hallmark the Black Catholic bishops tell us of Black spirituality, African-American spirituality, is this pervasive sense of joy. Even in the midst of so many tragedies of slavery, of persecution, of racism, they are an indomitably joyful kind of people. They are people that laugh. They are people that sing. They are people that cut up. They are people that like to have a good time. And it is almost dumbfounding to see this pervasive spirit in them in the face of all that they have encountered. One really powerful testimony to this is actually going to be displayed right here in Mobile on July 28th. I recently was invited to join this group called the Pledge Group. It's a group that's existed for several years here in Mobile, but it's a group of Black and white ministers that work together to help try to shrink the divide racially of all people in society, but kind of especially in the body of Christ, trying to bring us together. And so I just really about a week ago started coming to meetings and things, but they're organizing an event on July 28th called Shrink the Divide. And they're inviting three very special people from Charleston, South Carolina, to speak to the community here in Mobile. And what these people were involved with, if you remember, on June 17, 2015, there was a man who was self-proclaimed white supremacist who walked in on a prayer meeting, broke into a prayer meeting at the famous Emmanuel AME Church there in Charleston, and shot and killed 9 people. It was a devastating moment for the city, for the communion of faith there. But the people who are going to come and speak to the people of Mobile, one is lost his, it's a pastor from a neighboring parish who lost his wife during the that shooting. And his name is Anthony Thompson. Another guy named Chris Singleton lost his mother during that shooting. And another is a Baptist pastor of a neighboring church named Marshall Blaylock. He's a white Baptist pastor. But he was so moved by this experience. And as tragic as it was, the Lord used it to bring people together, to shrink that divide, and to touch the hearts of the people involved. And Marshall, the pastor, talks about this experience led him to reorient his whole Baptist church's kind of mission to bring people together, to do more kind of inner city ministry, mentoring, tutoring, all these kind of things. Why am I talking about all this on this point of them, of the Black community being joyful? Well, one of the things that was so powerful about this moment is the people who lost ones shot by this this shooting. Anthony Thompson, this pastor in particular, was there the day that this man was on trial. He was given a chance to say a few words, and the words that he chose to say to this man who had killed his wife, who had killed eight other members of the Black community, was he said to him, "I forgive you. My family forgives you, and I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus Christ." That comes from a spirit that is hard to fathom. That comes from an indomitable joy that is hard for us to wrap our minds around. That in the face of that great of evil, for somebody deciding to kill people just because they're Black, and he stated he was trying to start a race war, for that kind of joy and that kind of mercy to enter into the situation and totally defuse it. After he did that, the media pretty much just went away. There wasn't really much of a spectacle to be seen there anymore. But this is going to be an incredibly powerful sharing where we get to see this aspect, I think, of the Black community. That in this great tragedy, because of the joy, because of their sense that God is here, God is working, a tragedy has been able to be transformed into a moment of healing, a moment of bringing different kind of Christians together, and of everyone coming to like a more joyful experience of Christ. So there's a lot more that could be said about our Black brothers and sisters, about the gifts that they bring to the table. But I want to at least put those three before us about their spirituality, that they have this contemplative stance. Every place is a place fit for prayer. Every place is a place where they perceive the presence of God. That it's a holistic expression of the faith, experiencing God through all the senses, through the mind, the heart, the body, expressing and reaching out to God through all of that. And then this joy that no matter what kind of suffering, what kind of evil, what kind of attacks come, they can't break this spirit. These are gifts of Blackness that Pope Paul VI talks about that the whole church needs to experience and embrace and be touched by. So I hope this has been helpful. Again, check out our website. I really want you to look at some of these other websites that I've mentioned. And for those of you who live in Mobile, definitely check out the Shrink the Divide event coming up Tuesday, July 28th. There's a couple different churches where it will be hosted. And I think this is a big opportunity for us to really catch in a personal, experiential way everything I'm talking about here on this podcast. So we turn to our Blessed Mother. She's the mother of us all. We ask her to help us to shrink the divide, for us to learn from our brothers and sisters and share the fruits that they have to share with us as we conclude. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Sister Thea Bowman, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mighty God bless all of you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you back here on Native Soil.